Nalayanam namaskritya naram cheva narottamam devim saraswatim vyasam tato jayam udirayat. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 7, Chapter entitled The Son of Drona Punished, Text Number 34. Shibiraya Ninishantam.
Shibiraya Ninishantam.
Rajdra Badwa Ripumbalat. Prahajunam Prakupito. Bhagavan Ambujekshana. Shiviraya. On the way to the military camp. Ninishantam. While bringing him. Rajdwa, by the ropes. Badwa, bound up. Ripum, the enemy. Balat, by force. Praha, said. Arjunam, unto Arjuna. Prakupita, in an angry mood. Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. Ambuja, Ikshana, who looks with his lotus eyes. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. After binding Ashwatthama, Arjuna wanted to take him to the military camp. The personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, looking on with his lotus eyes, spoke to angry Arjuna. Translation responsibly. After binding Ashwatthama, Arjuna wanted to take him to the military camp. The personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, looking on with his lotus eyes, spoke to angry Arjuna. Purport. Both Arjuna and Lord Sri Krishna are described here in an angry mood. But Arjuna's eyes were like bowls of red copper, whereas the eyes of the Lord were like lotuses. This means that the angry mood of Arjuna and that of the Lord are not on the same level. The Lord is transcendence, and thus He is the absolute in any stage. His anger is not like the anger of a conditioned living being within the modes of qualitative material nature. Because He is absolute, both His anger and pleasure are the same. His anger is not exhibited in the three modes of material nature. It is only a sign of His bent of mind towards the cause of His devotee, because that is His transcendental nature. Therefore, even if He is angry, the object of anger is blessed. He is unchanged in all circumstances. Magyan Timarandashya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swabhadantikam Vancha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gaudadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Rama, Ram Rama, Hare Hare. So, hands up if you have an anger management problem. Find it hard to control anger? Hands up. Okay. Most. Okay. Nearly everyone. Some people can control it. Very good. So, it is actually said, interesting, because Rupa Goswami, he writes in the Upadeshamrita. Upadeshamrita is a very important book. It is 11 verses, and Rupa Goswami summarizes the entire philosophy or the entire process of perfection following in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya. So the very first verse is necessary for us to begin the sadhana bhakti or spiritual life. The first three verses of the Upadeshamrita, Vajravegam, Achahara and Utsahan, those first three verses, they are necessary for devotees to follow if they want to be successful in their sadhana. You have to adopt the principles in these first three verses of the Upadeshamrita. So the first one is Vacho Vegam, Manasa Krodha Vegam, Jiva Vegam, Udaropasta Vegam, Etan Vegan Yo Vishaheta Dira Savam Abhimam Prativim Sashishyat. So Vegam means urges of the body or the mind, desires which we have, which control us. So that's what we are very much battling with in this material world. These are obstacles in our sadhana bhakti. They make it difficult for us to advance in our sadhana. Vacha means speech. You have to learn to control speech. Prabhupada emphasizes that spiritual life very much begins with the tongue. You have to learn to control your tongue. This is actually where spiritual life begins. Now, tongue has two features, and Rupa Goswami mentions both of them. It speaks and it tastes. So the first one is speech. You have to learn to control what you say. If you want to make advancement in spiritual life, you have to control what you say, your speech. Otherwise, it's very difficult to make advancement. Words or speech, they create everything in this material world. Everything is created from words or speech, from sound, factually speaking. Even the spiritual world begins, or spiritual life begins with Shabda Brahma, spiritual sound. So you see that in this world, the impetus for everything in this world is sound or speech. People say something and then you act. People say to you, oh, you should do this. You say, okay, yeah, that sounds good, I'll go and do that. Or you should go to spiritual life. Okay, yeah, I'll go to spiritual life. Or you should go to material life. So it's very important for devotees, especially. We have to be careful about what we hear. Because if you hear from non-devotees, then what will happen? Then you'll start thinking like a non-devotee. Because the non-devotees will influence you, their sound vibration or their speech. They'll say, what are you doing? You're a Hare Krishna, you should do something else. You should be using your life in a better way. Just like when I joined the movement, my family, they tried to blackmail me into not being a devotee. So I came home and I said to Mum, Mum, I'm going to be a Hare Krishna. And I hadn't even spoken to her anything about the movement. I've been reading the books for about 6 months, but I never said anything to her. I told my grandfather I've been reading the books. I said I might become a Hare Krishna. But he didn't. He was just like, yeah, that's okay. That's what you want to do. But how come there's flowers on the wall? Do they have a push gravity shape or something? Is it from Gopanu? Okay, someone should clean that. And there's flowers up on the wall. It's still from Gopanu. Who cleans the temple? Who doesn't serve? Do you clean the temple sometimes? Someone should clean that off because there's flowers still there. That's all. So I hadn't said anything to my mother that I would be a Hare Krishna. I'd been reading the books for 6 months and I was seriously thinking about it. But then I hadn't said anything to her. And then I went to... I had to go to court one day because I had a dog, a big Rottweiler dog. Very friendly. He wasn't like an aggressive one, very friendly. But he kept running away. He was very big and he was hard to contain. He'd jump over the fence and he'd go and eat the chickens from the neighbours. So the neighbour used to come over to our house very angry. So your dog has been here. So anyway, the dog disappeared. I think the neighbour, someone caught him and obviously sold him because they're worth a lot of money, these dogs. So, but anyway, I had all these fines which I hadn't paid for the dog, like that. So then I had to go to court. I've been reading the books and I kept thinking, you know, I should go to the temple. But I had some material desires that I wanted to fulfill. I wanted to become a world famous actor. Because I was studying acting. I was an acting student. I studied acting. So I was waiting for someone to walk in one day to one of the classes and says, "You need to be in the next big Hollywood production. You. You're the greatest acting talent we've seen in modern history. You need to be on the big screen," like that. So I was waiting for that to happen. But I kept studying my acting classes and no one walked through the door. So after 6 months, I became a bit disheartened. I thought, you know, it's not going to happen. And then another desire I had, one of my friends, a friend of his, had a yacht. And he wanted to sail the yacht from Melbourne to the Mediterranean, to Greece, pick up another yacht and sail it back. So I said, "Yeah, I'll come." I'm young, I'm only 19. That'd be great, I'd love to go on a yacht and sail across the Mediterranean. But then after 6 months, the yacht was still sitting there in the down there in the pier, and he hadn't done any work on the yacht. He said, you know, take the 6 months to get it ready, and he hadn't done it, so that wasn't going to happen either. So my life was not going anywhere. And then I had to go to court. So I dressed up in my suit, you know, looking very respectable. Yeah, because if you go to court, you have to look respectable, otherwise they think you're a criminal, and then you get treated very badly. So I went to court, and I was sitting there in the court in the outhouse waiting to go in. And I was sitting there, and I thought, what am I doing with my life? What am I doing? You know, I'm about to go to court because this dog has been eating chickens, and you know, what am I doing with my life? Yeah. So I walked out. I didn't even go to the court. I just walked out, got in my car, drove down to 197 Dank Street because there was a book I'd been reading coming back, and in the back it said 197 Dank Street. So I rang them up and I said, "Can I come down and talk to you?" And someone picked up the phone and they said, "Yeah, just come down like that." So in my mind, I thought it was like a little cafe or something. Like you go down there and there's some Hare Krishna people sitting. I'd never met a Hare Krishna in my life, but I thought they're just sitting there and you just walk in and you talk and, you know, they tell you about spiritual life and then something like that. And then I pulled up in the front and I saw this huge Prabhupada house and like that. And I thought, wow, this is something. And then I walked in here and I went into that, courtyard, like that. And there was no one around. The temple was more quiet. You know, 20 years ago, it was quieter than what it is now. So it was very quiet. There was no one around. So about half an hour, I was just here by myself, practically. But I could just feel the atmosphere. And I just thought, this is my home. I don't want to leave this place. So then I was sitting out there. And then Jagannath Vallabha Prabhu, he was going from the paraphernalia room to the deity room, back and forth. Must have been before the midday aarti. So he kept walking past me, looking at me. He just walked past, looked at me, went in, came back, just looked at me. And I thought, wow. I thought, this guy's like on the transcendental platform, you know. He's like a real monk, you know. He doesn't speak and he's like... So I was in ecstasy. I thought, wow, oh, this place is really spiritual. Like, these guys are really... He just walked past, he just looked at me. He walked back about five times, you know. He just kind of looked at me like... I thought he must be looking into my soul or something, you know. It's like, wow. And then he went and got a Mataji, and the Mataji came and preached to me, and then they took me upstairs for the Raj Bowl gave me prasad. And I sat down because I ate a lot. I don't know if anyone's noticed, but I ate a lot of prasad. So I was sitting there and they gave me this big plate of prasad and I ate it. You know, and like I can eat unlimited like prasad. And then I ate it and then they said, "Do you want more?" And I said, "Yeah." So they gave me more and then I ate all that and they said, "Do you want more?" And I said, "Yeah." And I was just thinking, what's this place, you know? It's like, this is the spiritual world. This is like, it doesn't get any better. And sometimes, do you remember the first prasadam that you ever had? That first day that I came to the temple, I had camphor sweet rice. You know, sweet rice with camphor in it, like that. And I always remember, you know, that taste of that camphor sweet rice. You know, and it tasted like the spiritual world. That's what the spiritual world is like. Camphor sweet rice. And gulab jamuns. And shrikhand. Like that. That is what the spiritual world is like. It is unlimitedly nectarian, like that. So then I joined, like that. I became influenced, like that. So we become influenced by sound vibration. I was reading Prabhupada's books, and the sound vibration it influenced me. Go in this direction. So sound vibration influences us, right? Speech influences us. That's why Prabhupada emphasized distributing his books. Because if we distribute Prabhupada's books, people hear from Prabhupada, right, his vani, his instruction, and then their lives change. They go into a different direction. So speech is very important. Speech controls the world, actually. Sound vibration develops the world to one direction or another direction. Because people hear, oh, do like this or do like that. Wars have begun. On speech. Just people say something. They get angry, they lose control of their senses. Just like in 1963, we had the Cuban Missile Crisis. You might have heard of that in history, where America and Russia almost went to nuclear war. Right? And it was just based on speech, because they were writing letters back to each other, like the White House was writing to the Kremlin. They were sending faxes to each other. Right? And it was getting out of hand. And it was almost like a nuclear war almost happened. You know, America, you know, Cuba, Russia was setting up missiles in Cuba. America found out. Russia was sending a ship. America put ships in the middle of the ocean to stop the Russian ships from coming through. I mean, it was a standoff. It was like, it was about to happen. The whole world was just waiting. They thought there was going to be nuclear destruction. And it was all based on speech. And then John F. Kennedy, because he kept his cool, it was a very intense situation, went for 13 days, he kept his cool. And he did, because if he just had said the wrong thing, just written one of those letters, right, and just said the wrong thing to the Kremlin, then that could have been it, just could have exploded. But he kept his cool, he controlled his speech, right, he spoke in a very respectful way to them, and then everything just disarmed and became pacified. So devotees, we have to learn to control our speech, right? Which means you have to learn to talk about the right things. Topics related to Krishna. That's what Prabhupada says in the purport in the Upadeshamrita. You have to learn to talk about topics related to Krishna. Right? Otherwise, your speech goes out of control. And it can totally bring down your spiritual life. Right? If you don't learn to speak about Krishna or things related to Krishna, your spiritual life can be ruined. Right? And you can get completely on the material platform. Like that. So we have to learn, and especially the way we speak to other devotees. That has to be mastered. And we have to learn the art of speaking to other devotees appropriately. What does Krishna say in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 17? He says, speech in the mode of goodness, what are the qualities? Truthful? Yep. Pleasing? Yep. What's that? He doesn't say that, but that is a quality. Truthful, pleasing, beneficial. Okay. And based upon Shastra. Right? Truthful, pleasing, beneficial. Right? This should be our speech. Truthful. That means it has to be related to Krishna. Like that. That's truth. That is param satyam dimihi. It has to be related to Krishna. Truthful. Pleasing. Most of the time you have to speak pleasing. Sometimes you have to chastise. You know, sometimes we have to, as a senior devotee, sometimes you have to correct the younger devotee. So you have to become a little heavy. You know, Prabhupada was like that. Prabhupada didn't speak just pleasing, sweet all the time. Sometimes he's heavy. Yeah, sometimes that has to be there. But generally, especially when someone is equal to you, or if you're dealing with people who are more senior to you, then you should speak very pleasing, and beneficial. Is this actually helping the person come to Krishna? So you have to judge, what is your speech like? Does it have these qualities? Is it pleasing? Is it beneficial? Is it truthful? Like that. And ultimately, is it based upon scripture? Can you support what you're saying with scripture? Or are you just speaking? So you have to learn to control your speech. If you can control your speech, and if you can make a great deal of spiritual advancement, and you can help others to make a great deal of spiritual advancement also. So you need to control this tendency of speech. So Rupa Goswami says, Vacho, control your speech, Vegam. Vacho Vegam. Manasa, Krota, Manasa, mind, Krota, anger. Now that's what's been spoken of in this purport, anger. Udaropasa, jiva. Jiva means the tongue, right? How much you eat, right? Taste. Are you eating for the tongue, or are you eating for the belly? What are you eating for? You have to learn. Just like they have that saying, eat to live or live to eat. There's a difference. Do you eat to live, which means you eat the right amount? What Prabhupada said, he said half the belly full of prasad, 50% prasad, 50% water, and 50% prasad, 25% water, one quarter water, and one quarter air. So that's how a yogi eats. I'm a bhakti yogi, so I eat a little bit different to that. Very hard for me to speak about this. People look at me like, what the hell are you talking about? Whenever I speak about controlling your tongue or controlling your belly, they're like, oh, look at you. I don't know what happened in this lifetime. I got this. If you look at my astrology, you look at all my planets, you look at Mars, it says voracious appetite. You look at Mercury, it says voracious appetite. You look at Jupiter, it says voracious appetite. So they all ganged up on me in this lifetime. It's just, I don't know what's going on in there, but it's like I've got about six people's bio production going on in there. It's like I eat and just goes, just disappears, My mother said I had hollow legs when I was growing up. Just eat and just all just disappears. Still like that. So, but we should control. Meaning, to control the tongue means you eat regulated. You'll eat the same amount every day, and you'll eat at the same times every day. That's regulation. Different types of prasad you can eat like that. You should eat healthy. Just like if you want to eat healthy, then come to the farm. We'll teach you how to eat healthy. We eat very healthy there, like that. Devotees should eat very healthy, and they should eat in a regulated way. And Prabhupada said, once a week, then you can have a feast, and you can completely satisfy your senses, like that. Just to have a feast, and then just completely satisfy, and then control yourself the rest of the week. That is a yogic diet. So you have to control your. Prabhupada said, in the first 6 months, you can eat so much that you waddle like a duck. How long have you been a devotee for?
2 years.
Oh, no, 2 years. Okay, so you have to control yourself now. 6 months is gone. So, jiva vegan, udaropasta, the belly and the genitals. Prabhupada says in a straight line, You eat too much, puts pressure on the genitals, and then you become sexually agitated. Like that. That's why we have to control our eating. That's one reason why we have to control our eating. Also, if you eat too much, then Ayurveda says then you'll get disease. If you eat too much, it turns into undigested food, and that's the source of disease. Ayurveda says disease is only caused by three reasons. Undigested food, mental agitation or a disturbed mind, and uncleanliness. That's the cause of all disease. So if you're clean, if you eat in a regulated way, and if your mind is peaceful, you won't have disease. So these different urges are there, they have to be controlled. And then, specifically, Rupa Goswami says, in relation to this verse, he says, manasa vegam, krodha vegam, mind and anger. So the mind needs to be controlled. We need to control the mind. Does anyone have difficulty with this part of spiritual life?
All the time.
All the time? Oh, God. Mind is very difficult to control. Arjuna says in Bhagavad Gita, very difficult to control the mind. So how do you control the mind? Prabhupada said you have to learn to think of Krishna. No, it means you have to learn to think of things related to Krishna, which means the order of guru. That makes you think of Krishna. Constantly you're thinking how to please the spiritual master. Then if that's all you're thinking about, you don't have time to get on the mental platform. When do you get mental? When do you get on the mental platform? When does your mind give you problems? Right? When you are not doing enough service. When it means when you're not absorbed in the guru's instructions. Maya just needs a couple of inches to get in and then she can take over. Just like Tamal Krishnamaraj was getting the train from Mayapur to Kolkata, or Kolkata to Mayapur, one way or the other. And he was sitting, he had his seat, and it was like, you know, the train was packed, you know, and he had his seat. And then one old man came to him, like on the train, and the old man looked at him. So then Tamal Krishnamaraj moved over a little bit and kind of gave him half the seat. And then the man called his, you know, fat wife over. And then she moved in, and then the six kids moved in. And then Tamal Krishnamaraj was sitting on the floor. So he got to Mayapur, Calcutta, wherever Prabhupada was, and he told Prabhupada the story. And he said, I was on the train, and I just gave them a little, and then suddenly, I was off the seat. And Prabhupada said, Maya just needs that much. Maya, you just give Maya that much, and then she'll take everything. That's her power. So you have to learn to control your mind. If you don't control your mind, then Maya will just enter in, and she will take everything over. So then you have to absorb yourself in the instructions of the guru. The instructions of the guru means that you always have some engagement for your mind. We're never unengaged as devotees. If anything, we're over-engaged. Hands up if you feel like you're over-engaged. Really? Only two of you? You should come live at the farm. If you want over-engagement, so much to do. I'm totally over-engaged. I don't even have time to do everything I want to do. There's so much service to do, we don't even get time to do it practically. So we have to be fully engaged in devotional service. And then the mind does not have an opportunity to go out. Prabhupada says that when a brahmachari goes to sleep at night, as soon as his head hits the pillow, he just falls asleep. Prabhupada said a brahmachari should go to sleep chanting Hare Krishna. Right? So you just put your head on the pillow, Hare Krishna. That's it. Prabhupada says you're so exhausted from full engagement in Krishna service, you just fall asleep. Prabhupada said the brahmachari only has three bags. Japa bag, sleeping bag, and book bag. Prabhupada also said brahmachari life is the best life. Better than sannyas. Because when you're a sannyasi, you've got so much pressure on you. Everyone's looking at you all the time. When you're a sannyasi, everyone just looks at you. You see when the swamis walk around, everyone's just like... Especially in India. Yeah. If you're a famous person in India, then just sit there. Have you seen photographs? Sometimes you see photographs in India, like the politician is getting off the plane. So the politician is getting off the plane, there's like 100 people just going. I don't know why people do that in India. Why do they do that? You don't see in Australia like people just going like that. But in India, like even to get on the train, sometimes I get on a train in India and someone's sitting opposite me for 6 hours, I just go. I don't know why they do that, but there must be a reason. Must be a cultural reason why they do it. So, the mind needs to be controlled. So you have to have full engagement for your mind. Always engaged, constantly. In Krishna service. Then Rupa Goswami says, Vacho Vega, Manasa, Krota. Krota means
anger.
So where does anger come from? Lust, yeah. But in which part of the anatomy or the body or the subtle body, where does it come from? Yeah, that's the cause of it. But where is it situated? In the mind. Yeah, it's in the mind. Manasa krota vegan. It's in the mind. Mind becomes angry. Body doesn't become angry. Body's just dead. The mind becomes angry. You can just see when someone's angry. You can just see the look on their face when they're ready to chastise you. You can just see, you just know, oh, here it comes. You know, it's like when someone gets angry, then it's automatically there. It comes out in the eyes like that. It comes out in the face like that. And the body describes in the Bhagavata. How do you know when someone's angry? And you look at the body, the hands clench into a fist. When someone gets really angry, they clench into a fist and the body tenses up like that. So you'll see that when the energy of anger, which comes from Rudra or Shiva, when that energy enters into the body, right, it comes from the mind, then it manifests. So as soon as the mind becomes angry, then... So how does the mind become angry? Right? From unsatisfied lust. Kama esha, krota esha, raja guno, samud bhava. So it is unsatisfied desires. When your desires are not satisfied, you become angry. So when our desires become unsatisfied, then immediately Kamanuj manifests. Just like we have Ramanuj. Who is Ramanuj? Who is Ram? Who is Lord Ramachandra? He is Lord Ramachandra. Okay, so who is Ramanuj? What does Anuj mean? Anu, follow. Who is Ramanuj? Lakshman. Right? Lakshman always follows Ram. So, anger is called Kamanuj. Wherever there is desire, right, the anger is right there, behind, following. Just waiting for his service to be called upon. And then he manifests. So that is krodha. So in spiritual life, you have to learn to control krodha. Rupa Goswami says, vacha, speech, mind, tongue, belly, genitals, and krodha. Very important. So yeah, you give six here. These six you have to master. This is what it means to be a Goswami, a controller of the senses. All of us have to become Goswami. Right? We have to become controller of the senses, of the mind, of the anger. They're very important. So anger can destroy spiritual life. It causes so much difficulty in spiritual life. Sometimes we lose control of our anger, and when we become angry towards another devotee, right, it can cause it can cause friction or problems within the relationship for years and years and years on end. So anger must be controlled. You have to learn to control it. Anger can be used in Krishna service, but it has to be controlled. You have to have control of anger. Not that anger has control of you. You'll see that sometimes some devotees, they become angry a lot. Can't control the anger. And then the result is you commit offences. It's not actually a necessary way to communicate. Right? There are much more productive ways to communicate than being angry with someone. Anger can be used, but it has to be like, it's more like on a rare occasion. It's not something you just throw around all day. You know, like, it's like something you'll use occasionally. Right? If you actually have control of it. Like sometimes you have to use it. Or you'll see that like when the senior devotees, right, when they have to correct a junior devotee, they'll use anger, but then immediately it's withdrawn. It's control. It's just a force that you use. And then, like you see Prabhupada, even you see some of the videos, you see he becomes angry. Like he chastises someone, but then immediately, like the next moment, he's just completely composed again. Right? It's just, he uses the energy and then he brings it back. So devotees, we have to learn to control our krodha, control the anger. Because it is a very, it can be very useful in Krishna's service. Why do we use anger as a devotee? Why do we use it? To remove obstacles in Krishna's service. Right? If there's an obstacle, right, use anger. You just bring it out, move the obstacle, right? And when it's removed, then withdraw it again. But it has to be a controlled, a composed thing. So you have to be very careful. I know sometimes, generally I try to control my anger. I'm not really an angry person by nature, I don't think. Maybe I am. You can tell me if I am. But I'm not so much an angry person, but I have a very strong angry force. Like, if it comes out, it's very strong. But I know that when I become tired, it's hard to control it. So you have to be very careful. Because sometimes I come to the temple, like I've been at the farm, and I'm very tired. Even today I'm a bit tired, but somehow Krishna's not making me angry. I feel a bit tired, but I don't feel angry. Sometimes I become tired, then I come to the temple, and then I'm angry. So then I become short with people. Right? And then I just start, you know, treating them improperly. Right? And just, you know, quite angry. And because sometimes you're a more senior devotee, you can get away with it a little bit. Because people think, oh, he's senior and they offer respect. But actually, Krishna is watching. And he doesn't appreciate that you use it towards devotees unnecessarily. So you have to be very careful in controlling this force. Even in those people who you're familiar with, it's not excusable just to be unnecessarily angry with them. Particularly between husband and wife, you have to be careful about using this particular force. Because sometimes the husband and wife become very familiar with each other, and they think, well, it's okay, you know, we're husband and wife. You know, Chanakya Pandit says, when the husband and wife are arguing, you don't have to take it seriously. Right? He says it's just like when the clouds are rumbling, but there's no rain. You know, the clouds make that sound. But no one takes it seriously. Just like, just some sound. So sometimes the husband and wife, they're having this, like, argument. Like, sometimes you hear husbands and wives arguing. Like, you're in the next room, and they don't know you're there. Right, and they're like, going back and forth with each other, they're arguing with each other, but you don't take it seriously. You think, well, that's what they do. You know, that's the nectarian, blissful ocean of marriage. You know, that's what it's all about. It's about that deep pleasure and satisfaction that you have always been looking for, deep within your soul. And then you get that. And it's so satisfying. So satisfying to be married. You know, the deepest satisfaction in the universe, actually. We all want it, and then when you get it, and then you realise, oh, wait a minute, it's not what I thought it was going to be. I should have stayed a brahmachari, or a brahmacharini. It's not like that, but it means that it's not what we thought it would be. Right? So, but what happens is sometimes the husband and wife, they become unnecessarily they become angry with each other. And then you think, well, it's okay because it's my wife or it's my husband, but it's not okay because they are devotees. And Krishna is seeing it, and he doesn't appreciate it. Okay, sometimes it's necessary. You have to become a little heavy or a little angry, but not like on a regular basis. Krishna does not appreciate that kind of conduct on a regular basis. If it's always happening, then he doesn't appreciate it. So devotees, they need to learn to control their anger. Like that. It's necessary for spiritual life. So Rupa Goswami says, these six you need, right? If you want to progress. Right? If you don't progress, then you can't make advancement. If you want to go forward in spiritual life, you need to control these six. And then he gives the second six. Achahara, Priyashascha, Prajalpo, Niyamagraha. What's the next one? Janasangas, Chaloyamcha. These six have to be controlled also. Don't overeat, don't overcollect, don't speak nonsense, right? Niyamagraha, don't follow too strictly or too whimsically the rules and regulations. Be very careful who you associate with, and don't become greedy. And then what does he say? Then if you want to be successful, then he says, Utsahan, Nishchayat, Dayat, Tatat Kama, Pravartanat. Next line. Sangachagat, and then Satovritti. Yeah, Satovritti means following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas, like that. So then he says you have to be enthusiastic, you have to be determined, you have to be patient, you have to follow the regulative principles of devotional service, you have to associate with devotees, and you have to follow the previous acharyas. Interesting, what does he say in 2? Right? In 2 and 3. Right? In the negative he says, don't associate with the non-devotees. And then in the positive he says, associate with the devotees. That's the key of everything actually. It all goes around that. Right? So you have to learn to like the devotees. This is one of the most important things in spiritual life. You have to learn to like the devotees. Because you know what's going to happen when we get back to the spiritual world. It's all going to be the same. Same group. Right? We're all going to be there. So you have to learn to get used to it. It's exactly the same. It's going to be, we're just going to look differently, that's all. And it's going to be exactly the same. Same group. Right? So we have to learn to get along down here. And what do you think Krishna's doing? Why does he make us all different down here? Why are we all different down here? Because he's testing. You have to overcome those differences and learn to appreciate the devotees. Right? Even though we're very different. Right? But you have to learn to appreciate each other. You actually have to learn to love each other. Right? All of us have to learn to very, very deeply have respect for each other. Even though we're different. It means like... It doesn't mean you'll associate with everyone the same. Like some people will be like more intimate, right? And other people that you'll be more respectful to. But you have to learn to respect everyone. Has to be very respectful relationships. And this is actually, if you go further in Upadeshamrita, right? Then what does Rupa Goswami say in terms of someone who's an Uttama Adhikari? How does he define him? He says, this is Uttama, this is Majjhama, this is Kanishtha. How does he define Uttama? Because he could have said many things to define an Uttama Adhikari, but how did he define him? Yeah, the heart is free from the propensity to criticize others. Right? That is his most essential. Upadeshamrita means the essential instruction. Right? That was the most essential quality that Rupa Goswami felt, was there to define a very advanced Vaishnava. His heart is free from the propensity to criticize others. Right? I remember Burajan Prabhu, quite often he says to us when we go to Vrindavan, then he says to us when we do the retreats, he said, a couple of years ago he gave us his wristband. It was like, were you there that time when we got the wristband? Remember that year we got the wristband? So you got this rubber wristband, I still got it. So you wear it. And he said, for the whole retreat, he said, whenever you criticize someone, change it to the other hand. Right? So if you do any criticism, criticism of another devotee, change it to the other hand. So then you become very conscious. Because we don't realize that we do it all the time. Now, all the time we say, oh, you know, that one did that, and that one did that, and that one did that, and that one did that, like that. So then you realize when you've got something physically on you, it's a good practice, then you have to change it to the other end, then you start getting, you know, if you're standing there with all the devotees in prasad and waiting for prasad, and then you start, you know, making some criticism, then everyone sees you, you're starting like that. It's a very good mechanism. So we have to learn to give up this propensity to criticize the other devotees. Look for the good qualities. Doesn't mean like we'll all be like, intimately associated necessarily, but we should be respectful at least to each other. We should see the good qualities. Learn to see the good qualities. Right? Learn to think that each devotee has better qualities than me. If I look at all the devotees here, I can see all the devotees have better qualities than I have. Things that I need to develop or aspire to develop, I can see the devotees have that. So you have to have that vision like that. Because otherwise you get on the material platform of the mind. Because my mind also looks at all the faults. I see all the faults and then I think, this person's got that person's got that. So I'm obviously the best devotee. So we have both natures within us. So you have to learn to cultivate seeing the good quality within the devotee. So here we see that Arjuna becomes very angry. How angry does he become? His eyes are glowing like copper. Very intense anger. And it says Krishna is also angry, but Krishna's eyes look like a lotus. Prabhupada said, the verse specifically says that his eyes, they're not like Arjuna's. In other words, the conditioned soul may become overcome by the lower modes of nature, but the Lord will not. So even his anger, it's a blessing, as Prabhupada describes in this purport. So we need to learn to control anger. What is the best anger management course? It is Krishna consciousness. That's actually the best anger management course. Because if you're a devotee, if you're actually a devotee and you're purifying your heart, you will control your anger. People have anger management problems all the time like that. But the actual remedy is Krishna consciousness. Of course, you can do other things as well. There's external things you can do to help. But the main thing is to become Krishna conscious. When you're Krishna conscious, you'll control it. So we'll stop here and we'll see if there's any questions or comments on what we discussed. Yeah, so spiritual desire means when there's a obstruction to trying to fulfill the order of the guru. It's like I go out on book distribution. So I used to go out on book distribution a lot. That was my service. So I went out on book distribution, and sometimes there's some obstruction. You're trying to get out there, and then all sorts of obstacles start happening. So then anger comes. Right, so use that energy, anger, you become angry because not like you start losing everything, but that force comes within the consciousness. And you have to remove that obstacle. Okay, move out of the way and then I'll go like that. So it's a force that we use to fulfill our spiritual desires. What is our spiritual desire? Our spiritual desire is to fulfill the order of the guru. That's our desire. So if there's some obstacle, then we use the anger to remove it. Does that make sense? But then we have to be careful when you're dealing with the devotees. I remember sometimes, the devotees didn't order the books. We asked the devotees, we had to go out on book distribution, and the books weren't there. So then I had to come to the person who would order the books, and I had to become quite angry with them. But it had to be a little bit controlled. You're angry because you want to go out on books, but the books aren't there, so you have to come in, you have to show I'm angry, but you don't go too far, otherwise then you start committing offences. No. So the person who used to order the books I'm now married to. Veda Priya, that was her service to order the books. Sometimes we used to have leelas. I was a brahmachari, she's a brahmacharini. I used to come up and say, the books aren't there, like that. And then she'd say, well, I've ordered them, but the BBT haven't delivered them or something, and then there'd be like a bit of a leela, like that. So even though it happens sometimes, I usually win. But then later on, you have to make up for it. You have to give some present or something to him. The husband sometimes gets very angry, very chastising to the wife, like that. But then, nature of women is they become disturbed quite easily. So then you have to learn how to pacify. Also, best way is to control anger. Like that. Don't become too angry. You have to learn to control it as a force. Does that answer your question? You look confused. Yeah. Is it okay? Okay. Any other question or comment? Do they say that very often? Oh.
No,
sometimes they say that. It means that the devotional association should be very sweet, and it should be very attractive. We shouldn't feel like we want to go somewhere else. But I know for myself, there's been times in the past where I have felt like that. I felt like there's not enough closeness amongst the devotees like that. So that has to be cultivated. So devotees, we need to, and I think now that I look at the movement, I look at this temple, I think it seems the devotees are quite close. The relationships are quite strong, externally looking at it like that. And I feel that way myself. And I feel I have many strong relationships at this point in time. So it's something that we have to cultivate. It should be like that. Prabhupada said to Burujan Prabhu up in that room up there, he's Prabhupada's room. He said to Burujan Prabhu, he said, we are social by nature. So if we don't get social satisfaction with the devotees, Prabhupada said, we will look outside. like that. So it has to be that we have to learn to cultivate the relationships. So then Rupa Goswami says how to cultivate the relationship. What is the process of cultivating the relationships with the devotees? Yeah, six loving exchanges. Priti Lakshana. Priti Lakshana means ways of showing your affection to someone. So if you want to call it, if you feel like you're not so close to someone, how do you become close to them? Right? You give them some prasadam, or you receive prasadam. Right? You give them a gift, or you receive a gift. Right? You reveal your mind in confidence, or you inquire confidentially. Like that. Now it's interesting because it's easy to give prasad, or it's easy to give a gift, but it's actually harder to receive one, according to the loving exchanges. Because when someone gives you prasad, you have to make them feel very special for doing that. And if someone gives you a gift, you have to make them very special for doing it. You have to make them feel very special for doing that. Because sometimes devotees give us a gift or give us prasad, especially when you become like a more senior devotee, people give you more gifts and they do things for you all the time. But then you tend to become like a little bit complacent. And you might hurt their feelings because they've done like a whole thing for you. But for you, because you're getting things regularly, you're just like, okay, that's nice, like that. But it's actually a great art to make people feel very special when they've given something to you. It's a loving exchange. And I saw my spiritual master, he was expert at this. Devotees would be giving him things all the time. Like just every temple he goes to, you know, he rolls into a temple, like 20 or 30 devotees just waiting there to give him, you know, gifts and everything. I remember one devotee, she used to be here, the Russian devotee Ambukshiki, this is years and years ago. She was like a brilliant sewer. You know, she could sew things. Is that the word for it? When they sew? So on the bead bag, she sewed the Sringadev. Is that what they call it? Embroidery. Like that. So, it was incredible. It was just like, you know, some of these Russian artists, they're just like incredible. But this was like perfect. You know, the Sringadev, like, you know, that picture, just his face like that. It's perfect. So she gave that to Tamal Krishnamurti as a gift. It must have taken her hours to do it. So she gave it to him as a gift. And then he chanted with that bag for 1 year. And then he came back 1 year later, right? And I remember he was on the stairs and she was at the bottom of the stairs and he turned around and he just showed her. You know, he was chanting because he's chanting Japanese. He just turned around and just looked at her and he just showed her. Right? And then she started to cry. You know, because then she thought, you know, after 1 year, right, he still remembers the person who gave me that gift. Right? And he showed her that he still remembered. Right? And then her heart was completely satisfied. Like that. So that's what it means, loving exchange between the devotees. Right? It should be like that. Priti Lakshana. It means not just when you give something, but how you receive it. That should be the loving exchange between devotees. And then the fifth and the sixth, is inquiring confidentially and revealing the mind in confidence. So this is very important amongst devotees. This is how you really become close to devotees. You have to go to them and say, are you okay? Yeah. Are you okay? Yeah. Is there anything you need? Like that. You have to go there and actually ask. Because what happens so much of the time, we just walk past each other all day in the temple. And we go, hurry, Paul, how are you doing? And, you know, you say, well, actually, I'm having a hard time. And Dory say, oh, that's too bad. Like that. Just say, you know, just pray to your guru and then just kind of walk off. And then, but sometimes devotees really need some assistance. You know, like my father passed away 2 years ago, and it was a very difficult time for me. I didn't think it would affect me. Like, I knew it was coming, but I didn't think it would affect me. But him and I hadn't spoken for 20 years, and it deeply affected me when he left. Like, you know, and it was something I had to go through. It was like a big part of my life. And, you know, not many devotees kind of came to say to me, like, how are you and what's going on? And, you know, I needed assistance, but I didn't get so much assistance that time. Not that I feel like bad about it or resentful about it, but it just made me really see that we really need to establish this kind of environment within our movement, that devotees come when someone else is struggling and devotees say, you know, are you okay, and look after them like that. So that should be our inquiring confidentially and then revealing the mind in confidence. If someone thinks that you really care about them, then they will reveal the mind in confidence. So there's the six loving exchanges which need to be there. Does that answer what you're... I can't even remember what the question was. But Okay. Any other question or comment?
Would you like to tell us what was your reaction Your mother said when you said I'm going to
She offered to buy me a ticket to the Caribbean. That's what she did. She said, I'll buy you a ticket to the Caribbean, like that. Because she didn't want me to become a Hare Krishna, like that. So that's what she said. And I said, well, I'm going to become a Hare Krishna anyway. And I just joined, like that. And now she chants Hare Krishna herself.
Your determination.
Yeah, well, sometimes devotees, everyone is like that. You know when Lord Nityananda left? You know, the pastime when he left Hadai Pandit and Padmavati, his parents? He didn't even look back. He just left. That was it. So sometimes you just have to do that as a devotee. In one of these lifetimes, we just have to do that. Because, you know, not everyone's going to say, oh, great, go and become a devotee. Like my mother, she was terribly distraught. She blackmailed me. She did everything she could to stop it from happening because I'm very close to her. And I still did. I just said, Mum, I can't miss this opportunity. And after 1 month of me being a devotee, then she came to me and she said, you know, I'm happy. You know, this is good. And now, you know, she's been to Vrindavan. You know, she's done Govindan Parikram. she's practically a devotee. She's very supportive of me. You know, she doesn't follow it. Sometimes she chants japa. Sometimes I ring her up and she goes, I just chanted around. You know, so you know she's practicing something like that. So we just have to be determined, you know, because the material world is always going to pull us back. It's always going to, like my grandmother. Even now, I've been a devotee for like 20 years. Every time I speak to my grandmother, she goes, "When are you going to come home and grow your hair? You know, you used to have such nice hair. You know, when are you going to come home and grow your hair?" I'm like, "Oh, I'll do it soon, Nan." So like, she's very old now. When are you going to come home and you know like that? You know, when are you going to come and eat some, you know, not edible food? You know, she says this stuff to me all the time. She's just old. She's a very nice person. You know, she just rings up. I speak to her and she goes, you know, when are you going to come home? Just, you know, I says, yeah, I'll do it soon then. That's what Haridas Thakur said to the prostitute. He said, yeah, tomorrow, no problem. Come back tomorrow. She came back the next day. He said, yeah, tomorrow, no problem. I was going to finish my japa. Like that. And she came back the next day. And then by that time, just by his association, she became a devotee. And she shaved her head, put on white, and then she became a sattva. And then he left, he moved off to another place, and she became the sattva of that village. But she became a famous Vaishnava herself. So that's what we have to do with the material world. So yeah, okay, tomorrow, no problem. Right. Any other question or comment?
One comment about where he was chanting, popularity became the same.
Siddha Bakul?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a powerful place, if you can go there, powerful place to chant japa. And Siddha Bakul. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki.